Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Folks, if you like good old-fashioned true crime mysteries, if you like stories where you feel like you're a detective finding clues, June's Journey is the name of this new game that you can play on your iPhone or your Android. You are uncovering the mystery of June's sister's murder. It's this well-to-do family in the 1920s living in a Great Gatsby-like mansion. Each scene uncovers new aspects of the story. Some parts are in New York, some parts are in Paris. There's all kinds of objects you're finding and trying to assess whether they're meaningful or not. You collect information, filling out your own photo album, and you're keeping track of all the characters. There's romance, there's scandalous family secrets. It feels like a really fun play or movie. And I've only made it through like 5 scenes, but I am told you could crack the case. All you need is an internet connection and downloading on iOS or Android. So discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Hey, folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from the earlier years of the podcast. This week, it's the Best of Funny Stuff number 4. You know, with all the types of life experiences the folks have shared on Risk and all the emotions that have been explored on the podcast, let's face it, many of listeners' all-time favorite Risk stories are the ones that were just plain funny. And I believe that it's in sharing funny stories with our friends and families that most of us end up learning the most about how to tell stories in the first place. That's why when we do our curated social events that we call What's Your Story, there's a bit of an emphasis on stories that make us laugh when we think back on them. So, in a little bit, we're going to hear from Alexandra Anagnostopoulos and Alex Wilkie. But first, a story from Danny LaBelle, who you can find on Twitter at Daniel LaBelle. And here he is now with a story so memorably titled, Don Really Liked Titties.
So this is in my early 20s. I had found a living situation on the internet with a nerd, a dork, and a geek. And I'm an uncategorized strange person. So whereas I'm usually socially inept, I was the eptest I've ever been in this situation, which was pretty good. And the only thing, they didn't like me. They didn't care for me very much. The geek liked me, but the nerd and the dork, they weren't fans. And one day they just decided to end the lease. I don't know if it was because of me, but there was just tension, you know? I'm the only one who liked it. And and they just decided we're disbanding. And I'm like, all right, when? They're like, we're ending this lease in like a week. I was like, oh, fuck, you know? I had to find a new place. And my friend told me that his girlfriend His uncle had a place to look at, so when I was looking at places, I went and looked at his place right next to Carnegie Hall. And I remember I went in there, and the guy's name is Don, and he's got this amazing apartment. It's just huge, not even by New York standards, but by life standards. It's a big apartment by wherever you live in life. This was a big apartment. And the room was just huge, and the window overlook, you know, you open the window and it's Carnegie Hall next door. And I was like, well, this isn't something I can afford. But I spoke to him and I said, look, what are you asking for this? He's like, well, the rent is like something like $6,000 a month. And I figured we'd split it. I go, look, you know, it's nice to meet you, Don. Don was a guy in his 40s and had a very, he was very pleasant. He had a kind face, a pleasant guy. And I said, Don, you know, you seem like a great guy. I'd love to have lived here, but I can't do that. He's like, oh, all right. Well, how much were you hoping to spend? I'm like, I don't know. The most I could have possibly spent is $1,100 a month. He goes, all right, let's do that then. And I said, all right, well, you sure? He goes, yeah, be fun. He said, I'm just kind of looking for someone to hang out around here. And I said, sure, all right, and I moved in. Don was like a real-life Kramer from Seinfeld, if Kramer was a very laid-back Kramer. He always had like these schemes going, and the reason he was doing so well, he had this big apartment, was he was importing these things called the party bike from Holland. And it was just a big, round, red bike where eight people sit around. It's a party. Everyone sits around in a round bike, and one person steers, and he was charging for rides in Times Square. And he was just racking in money. And he had one, then he had two, and then he had eight, you know. I remember he was asking me, like, he's like, not you, because I know you're not physically fit, but do you know people who could push these? So I had, like, all my comic friends riding party bikes and working for Don. Don had, like, all these people from Times Square always coming up to the apartment. He was, like, friends with the photo guy who takes the ghetto photos of you in Times Square. The Chinese caricature guy would be coming up. They'd all be hanging out at, like, 1 in the morning with Don. And, hey, what's up? Guy'd be making a caricature of him in the living room. Huh? Hey, pretty good. When I moved into the apartment, and in the interview process, I remember Don had asked me, he said, are you Jewish? And I go, yeah, I'm Jewish. He goes, where are you from? I said, originally from Queens. He goes, yeah, me too. Jew from Queens. I go, okay, cool. He goes, yeah, I had my bar mitzvah at the Temple Shalom. And I'm like, all right, well, sounds like a place. Cool. Yeah. And the whole time I was there, he just always peppered things with these stories of Jewish life. Just an interesting fact about Don. Another interesting fact about Don is that he'd often wake me up at like 2 in the morning. He had a car, and he'd be like, let's drive to Wohop. We're getting Chinese food. That was a thing that we'd do. I never liked driving. I'm just adjusting to it here in LA. But I used to be terrified of driving. And one time around 5 a.m., he just wakes me up. He goes, hey, I need you to drive me a few blocks. I go, all right. And I'm driving, and I go, well, where are we going? He's like, just go a few more blocks. I figure we're going to Wohop, you know? A few more blocks. He had me drive him all the way to Atlantic City. Uh-huh. And then when we got there, I said, so what are we doing here? He goes, nothing. I just wanted you to drive a little bit. All right, well, we played some penny slots for a few minutes, and then we went home. And then something happened. Don had never gotten permits for the bikes, so things started to get bad for him because the city started cracking down and confiscating these party bikes because the guys who have the little, I don't know what they're called, the bike peddlers that have a little, the rickshaw guys, they started cracking down with the city, like, we have to have a license. Why does a party bike not have to have a license? And that started becoming a thing, that he'd always be in court fighting that. But he was just a strange man. Like, you come in, he always had, I think, Asian prostitutes at the place. I think they were prostitutes. They might have just been legitimate Asians. I don't know. But it's hard to say. And he'd always watch these videos of guys. This is a thing about Don. He'd watch these videos of people, real footage. He found a website of real footage of people getting hit by trains. And he'd just sit there with a glass of wine and laugh his ass off. And anytime I bring someone home, you know, I have a friend come over, he'd be like, hey, come over here, take a look at this. And they just play a guy getting hit by a train and just being decapitated and just die laughing. My friend, whoever it was, they look at me like, what the fuck kind of shit is this? I'd be like, I don't know, he likes it. That's the one thing about Don. He just loves people getting hit by trains. He's a perfectly nice man in every way. Except for loving the fact that people get hit by trains on video on a regular basis. That's the thing about Don. The other thing about Don is that he always pulled pranks. But his pranks were not real pranks by any standard. They weren't even like bizarre Andy Kaufman pranks. They were non-prank pranks. He pulled pranks like, I'm bringing home a pizza for dinner, so don't get anything, you know, I'm getting a pizza. And then he'd come home dinner, I go, hey, did you get that pizza? And he'd go, what pizza? And he'd smirk. All right. I think you got me. Well, things kept getting worse with the bikes in the city, and they kept cracking down. And Don says one day, he says, look, you know, I can't afford to keep this apartment going, so we gotta disband. It's over. I was disappointed, and I moved out, and we stayed friends, you know. 2 months later, he just takes a heart attack and dies out of nowhere. And he was a healthy guy, you know. He rode a bike every day, you know, several of them. And he just died. And I was like, geez, I can't believe Don just fucking died. It was just the weirdest out of nowhere thing. And I get a call from his niece, and she's, you know, she's crying, and she says, you know, I thought you might want to come to the funeral. And I said, yeah, I would like to go there. And she says, okay, so here's the address. It's at the so-and-so chapel, in the most Italian part of Brooklyn. And I go, a chapel, so that's interesting. I said, a church? She goes, yeah. I said, it's a little weird, no? Being that he's a Jew? And she's like, Don's not a Jew. It's a little bit? Is he a little? She's like, no, he's not even slightly Jewish. He's 100% Italian. Like, son of a bitch, all right. And I went to bed that night, and I had a dream like no other dream I've ever had. And in my dream, Don came to me, and it was very real. And he said, hey, Danny, he says, you going to my funeral tomorrow? And I said, yeah, I wouldn't miss it. And he says, good, because I need you to do me a favor. And it's going to sound crazy, and you might even realize that you're dreaming right now. But don't take any of that into account. He says, no matter how ridiculous what I'm about to ask you sounds, when you wake up from this dream, do it. Because this is the only opportunity I have to ask you. I can only talk to you in a dream. And if you doubt this or whatever, don't. I need you to promise me that you're really going to do this. I go, okay, what is it? He goes, tomorrow at my funeral, I need you to go around and individually tell everybody there that I am the guy responsible for writing the movie Nacho Libre. And he says, again, don't bail on me on this. And I woke up. I didn't know what the hell to do. Because he called me on this. He said, you better not bail out on this Nacho Libre thing. So I said, fuck it, I gotta do it. And I don't even know Don's family or anybody there, just his niece. So I called my friend Dave. I said, I gotta do a strange thing today at this funeral. I gotta tell everybody that, you know, Don, my old roommate who died, He was the one who really wrote the movie Nacho Libre. And he's like, oh, I don't want to miss that. I'm coming. So we go to this little chapel, and it is really hardcore Italian. I mean, it really feels like a Sopranos episode, this tiny little chapel. And everybody there, they don't even look regular Italian or... these are like mobstery looking Italians with lots of jewelry on their fingers and leather jackets and severe overweight. And and there in the front is Don in an open casket, you know. And on either side of him are these oak tag boards with collage photos of Don. And there's Don's sister, who I was explaining that's Don's sister, just bawling over the coffin. And I walk over there with my friend Dave. And we start looking at the photo collages of Don, and we notice that every single photo on these collages is Don with topless chicks. That's it. It's just so many topless chicks on every. It's bizarre. And the niece comes over and says, "Yeah, Don picked out the photos that if he ever died, he'd want these photos." And I'm looking at these photos, and they're all sorts of situations. One of them, the tits are painted black, and he's wearing them as Mickey Mouse ears on his head. They're just like tits all over America, and I think European tits. There's a lot of different tits. And there's Don's sister just crying over the coffin. My friend Dave turns to her and goes, "Don really loved titties, didn't he?" And she goes, "He really did." And then I cut in, and I say, I'm a friend of Don's, and I was his roommate for a while, and I just want to tell you something. He came to me in a dream." And she's like, "What?" I said, "Don came to me in a dream, and he wanted me to tell you that he is responsible for writing the movie Nacho Libre." And she goes, "What?" I said, "It's a movie with Jack Black where he played a Mexican wrestler. It came out about 2 years ago." And she goes, "Okay." And I just move on to the next person. And I'm going person to person, and one guy was like, "Really?" He's like, "So what are we going to do about this?" I go, "I don't know." He's like, "Don's got to get this credit." I go, "Well, he didn't tell me to take care of that part. I'm just a messenger." And then I see Don's old mother, his old 80-year-old mother from Italy. And I got to tell her. And I go up and I say, "Your son was a great man." And she goes, "Thank you, Don is a great man. He's a great man. He's such a good boy." I said, "And he wanted me to tell you that he wrote the movie Nacho Libre." "What? My Don never wrote a movie." I said, "He might not have, but he wanted me to tell you that's what his ghost came to." "What do you mean it's a ghost? Came to, I don't know if it's a ghost, but Don, a version of Don came to me in my dream." And like this big, tough, fucking Italian dude walks over and goes, "Ma." And it's not his mom. I think they just call her mom. And he goes, "Ma, what's going on here?" And she goes, "He's telling me that the Don is the ghost of the Don in the movie. I don't know what he's talking about." I said, "Look, respectfully, last night I had a dream in which Don wanted me to tell everybody here that he wrote the movie with Jack Black, Nacho Libre, the wrestling comedy." He goes, "What the fuck? Is this a fucking joke?" I go, "No, I wouldn't. You're trying to disrespect Don, just fucking dies and he's lying there, and you go to his fucking mother when his fucking dead body is right over there and start making fucking jokes about him writing fucking Jack Black movies? What the fuck is wrong with it?" And now like three more big Italian guys are there. Like, "What's going on? This fucking guy was fucking, the fucking guy, huh? Fucking Nacho Libre bullshit motherfucker." And then like, they're like, "Get the fuck out of here. You better fucking get the fuck out of this funeral right now." And so I left. I'm like, "Dave, we gotta go. We're kicked out of the funeral." And in the dream, I kind of knew that Don was fucking with me. And even doing it, I suspected this is not true, you know, this is... But then I was absolutely sure that Don had got one over on me from another dimension. Don had managed to prank me yet one more time. Thank you guys very much.
We'll be right back. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're back.
Quite a few years ago, my uncle and my cousin, they trained wild animals. And my uncle was also a stuntman, so he used to do a lot of work in the movies, you know, westerns and stuff, where people would roll around and fight with mountain lions and stuff like that, and some of the westerns getting shot with flaming arrows and all that stuff, so he did a lot of that work. And him and my cousin were traveling out here on the East Coast to pick up some animals out in New York City that were coming in on the docks. And while they were here, they stopped by to visit us. So they brought the tractor trailers and they pulled them into the yard. I live in Far Hills, and we have 12 acres, so we're out kind of out in a wooded area. So we had plenty of spots. You know, we got a pond there. We have some streams and stuff, so plenty of room for the animals to, you know, the ones he could take out, like the elephants and camels. You know, they could lead them around, and he would give rides and stuff to the people in the neighborhood on them at night. So Buddy, the chimp, he was, you know, he would stay in the house, and he would, you know, he was a regular, he was their pet, you know, and he was trained. And he would come out with me, and I would take him down to the 7-Eleven, you know, to get him frozen sodas. And we'd get them, and the people in the store would just be laughing, looking like, you know, what the heck is this? Where's this freaking monkey coming from? So he would grab whatever was in reaching distance. So, of course, once he grabbed it, I had to buy it, you know. So this went on throughout the week at night, and we would play inside Rough House with Buddy. You know, we'd play with him and, you know, just having a good old time. So I was sitting on the front lawn, just on the grass, talking to some of the people hanging out. People were having a little barbecue. And Buddy the Chimp, every once in a while, he would come running around. And when he come running up to me, I would just kind of grab him and bend his head and bend him into a ball and roll him on the ground. And he would roll and he'd make noise, he'd run around. And, you know, he'd come back and this play went on for a little while, on and off. So finally, I was just sitting there talking to one of my buddies. Buddy had come running around. And when he came around, I was laying on the ground and I had my leg up and I kind of had my arm resting on my knee like this. So he comes around and he's standing there looking at me. I'm really not paying that much attention to him because, you know, he'd play, he would stand there and then he would just take off on his own. So with that, all of a sudden he grabs my arm with both hands. I look at him for a second. I see his mouth open up. I'm like, holy shit. And with that, he just clamps down on my arm. So I kind of panicked at first because when he bit down, it felt like my arm was going to crush. So I punched him right in the nose. And when I did, he kind of just ripped back with my arm. And I was like, holy shit. I can't believe it. And as I did that, he just started coming right back at me. So I grabbed him and I kind of threw him down and then I tried to get to my feet. So as I got to my feet, he kept kind of leaping towards me. I kept grabbing him by his arms, holding him down, and he was just started to get worked up and going crazy. So now I'm putting him on the ground and I'm kind of hitting him a little bit to stop him, but not to hurt him. Unbeknownst to me that I really didn't know that I couldn't hurt him yet, you know. I was just still trying to be nice to him because it was still, you know, he's a cute little guy, you know. So he's getting worked up even more. So he leaps up and he's trying to bite me. He's got his mouth open. So I'm holding him by his arms, trying to hold him away from me so he can't bite me. And he's kind of like going side to side, trying to bite at my hands. But his feet have got me because I can't hold him far enough away that he can still reach me. His feet have got me by the neck. So he's grabbing me and I'm trying to turn because I don't want him to grab my windpipe. And he's just tearing into me and I'm trying to pull away. And every time I do, I can just feel him ripping into my neck, his nails stuff. I'm like, oh man, this is not good. So with this, people are starting to run now. Everybody that's there is just starting to really panic, you know? So I throw him on the ground, and boy, every time I throw him down, he's like stuck to me like a rubber band. He just comes right back. So I held him down on the ground, and I got underneath him. I said, man, I got to really drill this thing. And I got low. I had to get low on him because he was short, you know? And I came with an uppercut. as hard as I could, and I cracked him. And he lifted up, and he really did a backwards flip and a roll, and he went quite a ways away from me. At the point, I was like, holy shit, I couldn't believe I didn't knock him out. He got up. He gets up, and he's running around in a circle, punching the ground. Oh, he was screaming and making all kinds of noise. And his fur is all puffed up now. So now he doesn't look like a chimpanzee anymore. Now he looks like Mighty Joe Young. I'm like, holy shit, what do I do now? Well, with that, my friends, everybody else are scattered. They're ran. And if this thing was fighting somebody else, I would have been running too. So with that, I look at the front door at the house, and my feet want to go, but my brain's telling me, don't run, because if he gets on your back, you're doomed. So now we're kind of looking at each other. We got a little standoff going there. I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and I'm like, oh man. And he just starts punching the ground, and here he comes. Now he starts charging me. So with that, I'm like, oh man, my brain's racing. So I figure I'm gonna kick him. But before I could go to kick him, he gets within a short distance and he just leaps through the air. And as he leaps, all I see is his mouth coming at me. All these big teeth, like big white chiclets. So as he comes, I catch him kind of right by his biceps. And I just continue the momentum. I just did like a backwards roll and pile-drived his head into the ground. And it sounded like a coconut being dropped from like two stories up. So I quick jumped to my feet. By that time, my cousin Eddie had gotten some people off the camel that he had on it. So he comes running up. Buddy gets up and he kind of stands up and he's got his arms up in the air like this. So my cousin comes running up. Of course, he's laughing because they think it's funny. My uncle and my cousin, they're half out of their minds anyway. So he goes, oh man, he goes, holy cow. He goes, that was unbelievable. He goes, like, you beat him. He goes, he's admitting defeat. He goes, take him by the hand. I go, admit defeat? What are you talking about? He goes, no, it's okay. You can take him by the hand. You know, you kicked his ass. And I said, really? He's like, I go, Eddie, I'm not touching this thing. He goes, no, you got to take him by the hand now and let him know. He said, you beat him. So he's admitting that, I guess I'm the head chimp now, you know? So I said, Eddie, if I touch this thing and this thing goes nuts, I said, I'm not only killing him, I'm beating the shit out of you too. So he starts laughing. So no, I take him by the hand, no problem. I lead him into the house. I go inside. My cousin Eddie takes him, kind of puts him, every time we brought him in the house, you had to put him in a diaper because, you know, otherwise you'd forget your house, you know? So I go into the bathroom. Now, all the people are still outside. They're all kind of gathering their stuff and coming back around. They can't believe what just happened. Everybody, you know, they just ran for their lives. Now I got the alcohol, the peroxide. I'm bandaging up my arm. I look in the mirror. My neck and my face are tore up, you know, just ripped. So I'm cleaning that up. I must be in there, you know, 20 minutes to a half hour. So I finally get myself all cleaned up as good as I thought I could. I'm like, yeah, maybe I should go get this checked out, you know. So I walk out into the living room. And as I come out into the living room, I look over. And there he is, sitting there eating dry Cheerios. And he's watching the Flintstones. And he kind of looks over at me, you know, gives me this little look. And I'm looking at him like, oh, you little bastard, you know. I got him. You know, I beat him. But it really, I got the worst of it. Because now I'm bit, I'm ripped up. I'm like, holy cow. So then when I talked to my cousin after, when I went outside, he's like, you know, the thing just happened to get worked up. And it was like a challenge, you know. He just snapped. He said that, you know, once in a while that can happen. And if you don't beat him, he can't train them anymore. They won't listen, but they will test you every now and then. But he said, thank God it happened to be me tested, not somebody else there, because golly knows what he would have done, you know? I mean, it was all I had, my hands full, all I could do to stop this thing from getting the best of me. And it was just sheer all out, you know, swinging away there for a while. And, you know, the fear was like, man, when that thing was over, I was like, holy cow. But after that, we were the best of friends. Never had a problem with him again the time he was there. And to this day, I'm still a head monkey, you know? I got that going for me.
So I'm walking down the street, and there's a medium amount of people, and I see this adorable gentleman, older than me, shorter than me, looking at me and approaching me. He's got these bottle cap glasses on, but I remember his eyes to be small and like almost turtle-esque. And he seems to very much want to tell me something. And so I'm like, oh, hello, sir. And he's like, meh. I'm like, oh, and I think, well, okay. He's maybe needs a minute. He's like, meh. man, he, you know, is putting his, kind of reaching out for my arm, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm listening, uh-huh, you can tell me, and me and my, I'm like, oh, shit, like, this guy's having a hard time getting it out, he must have a stutter, you know, so I'm like, you know, no, and I just buckle down, and I was raised to have very good manners. My parents are immigrants. They taught me, you know, like, especially to your elders, to always be polite and patient and just accommodating. So I'm like, yes, tell me. It's like, me and me and mom. I'm like, maybe he's in trouble. Jesus Christ. Like, all right, ma, yeah, you and your, me and mom. Me and me and my fam. I'm like, all right, we're getting somewhere. We got me and my fam. He's probably gonna say me and my family. I'm like, uh-huh. Okay, me and my fam. Me and my fam. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Uh-huh, yes, sir, yes. To you and your fam, you and your family. Me and my fam. I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm just, like, starting to go nuts. Like, I'm like, oh, God, just fucking, oh, my God, dude. Me and my fam. Oh, just fucking say it. Me and my fam. Oh, and I'm like in my head, I'm just like, just fucking say it. And then, I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, I was sleeping. And I like look over and my sweetheart is snoring next to me. He's like, and I just start laughing. I'm just like, God, his snore got into my dream and was the voice of the man. Ugh, one of the best dream interpretations I've ever had. Real life into sleep.
Well, I got a feeling.
This is Risk. This is Ray Charles behind me now. And we just heard from Alexandra Anagnostopoulos, who you can find on Instagram at Akisandra and Busty Boy. Before that was Alex Wilkie, who you can find at alexwilkiemma.com. And that is all for the Best of Funny Stuff number 4. If you've got a funny story, everything you need to know about how to pitch us is at risk-show.com/submissions. And to find our other best of compilations, like our scary stories, true crime stories, or happy stories, go to risk-show.com/special series. Folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.